From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. The first time John McCain and Barack Obama share a stage this election campaign, they'll do it at the Saddleback Church in Orange County. Pastor Rick Warren arranged the political coup for a forum next month at his Lake Forest megachurch. Warren is perhaps best known for his bestseller, The Purpose-Driven Life. He'll interview each candidate for an hour, one after the other. Which candidate gets to speak first? Warren tossed a coin. Obama. The state's top water official, Lester Snow, told a congressional committee yesterday California is facing the most significant water crisis in its history. A House subcommittee met in Fresno to hear testimony about the drought. As Sasha Coker reports, farmers and politicians sent a strong message, but other voices were noticeably absent.
Farmers from the powerful Westlands Water District packed yesterday's hearing. Growers say the drought and water cutbacks to save endangered fish mean they've had to plow under cotton, melons, and other crops and lay off about a quarter of the area's farm workers.
We are suffering.
Fresno County Supervisor Phil Larson.
Two times a year, Fresno County supplies 95% of all the lettuce consumed in the United States. But because of no water, that may not happen this year.
Several Central Valley representatives made it clear they'll continue to push for more dams, a peripheral canal, and even an emergency suspension of the Endangered Species Act to get more water to farmers. Congressman Devin Nunes of Visalia sits on the House Subcommittee on Water and Power.
Radical environmentalists and their friends in Washington and Sacramento should be held accountable because their actions are destroying the way of life here in the San Joaquin Valley. These are the same folks fostering a renaissance of tumbleweeds, kangaroo rats, delta smelt, and the mystical Chinook salmon on the San Joaquin River.
No environmental groups or sport fishing organizations were invited to testify. The committee will accept public comment for 10 days about how the federal government should respond to the California drought. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Fresno.
One of the biggest issues in fighting the spread of HIV and AIDS is getting those who might be at risk of infection to get tested in a timely manner. Treatment is much less effective on advanced infections. The problem is particularly acute among Latino immigrants. Elsa Chang reports.
Every day, HIV counselor Andrea Galindo asks Latino immigrants about their sex lives. This morning at San Francisco's Mission Neighborhood Health Center, Galindo is counseling a woman from Nicaragua.
Do you know anyone that's HIV positive? Do you know what that's like?
Like I said, I only have seen in the movies and like shows, but that's it.
Galindo says Latino immigrants see HIV positive people as a group they'll never belong to, and they end up getting tested too late. A late tester is someone whose HIV diagnosis occurs less than 12 months before full-blown AIDS develops. More than 40% of all Latinos living with AIDS in the U.S. were late testers, according to federal health officials. In California, Latino immigrants are three times more likely to test late than U.S.-born residents. That's what Dr. Vivian Levy at Stanford Medical School and other researchers just found.
Traditionally, we've looked at race ethnicity in the United States as a risk factor for HIV. And for Hispanics, race ethnicity may be masking a more important risk factor, which is immigrant status.
Late testing among Latinos is a major public health concern. They are the fastest growing minority in the U.S. and have the second highest AIDS rate after African Americans. Testing late means increasing the risk of transmitting the virus to others and reducing the effectiveness of treatment. The question is, why do Latino immigrants tend to test for HIV later than other groups?
Part of it is culture.
Maritza Penagos is director of HIV services at Mission Neighborhood Health Center.
Latino men are very much about self-reliance, and a primary role is always about protecting and taking care of other people. And so I think they're always reluctant to kind of look at themselves as needing help or needing support.
Penago says that needing support creates a paper trail that many patients believe will jeopardize their immigration status. Since 1987, the U.S. has banned arriving immigrants who are HIV positive from becoming legal permanent residents. Penago says that law scares many immigrants already in the U.S. from getting tested.
There's always this concern that if they become a public charge, that is, they access any kind of benefits, that this will come back to haunt them in their application to become a citizen.
Sometimes just the daily struggle to survive can overshadow longer-term concerns like HIV. 44-year-old Ruben Echeverria immigrated from Mexico City almost 30 years ago. Even when his boyfriend died of AIDS in the mid-90s, he didn't get tested for HIV. Echevarria had no money, no home, and often no food.
I was hungry. I was so hungry. I was just trying to make it. I wasn't even focusing on STDs or none of that. I was hungry.
He decided to get tested in 2002 after developing an infection. He already had full-blown AIDS. Learning his status has allowed him to get healthier, but the burden of being gay and HIV positive in a culture that shuns both has been heavy to bear. Every week, Echevarria visits a support group in San Francisco for HIV-positive gay Latinos.
So raise your hand if you have a topic you want to talk about today.
Echevarria struggles with a personal tragedy, a 20-year-old son who hates him for being gay.
I hate you, but you're not a man. You're a...
Echevarria regularly listens to a cell phone message from his son, who says his father deserves to die from AIDS. Echevarria says he saves the profanity-filled message because his son won't see him.
I'm not listening to the bad words. I'm listening to the sound of his voice. And I believe he probably loves me a lot. Because when somebody hates you that much, they love you that much, I guess.
Since his diagnosis, Echevarria says he's become a loner. Dating is difficult. And all his family members have deserted him. Other gay, HIV-positive Latinos in his support group say they're also socially isolated. It begs the question,
what is the social cost of knowing your status?
That's Rafael Diaz, a psychologist at San Francisco State University who studies gay men of color. The medical community says HIV testing gives patients self-empowering knowledge. But Diaz says testing positive can be socially crippling for immigrants who already feel alone.
This is a knowledge that actually will devastate you and would really separate you more, give you more shame, make you more insecure.
And it's just one more reason so many Latino immigrants stay away from clinics. For the California Report, I'm Elsa Chang.
We serve up self-empowering knowledge every day here at the California Report. Make sure you don't miss any of it by signing up for our podcast at californiareport.org/podcast. That's the California Report for Tuesday, July 22nd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Healthcare Foundation and Cal Hospital Compare, rating hospital quality in California, on the web at calhospitalcompare.org, and the Wesley Foundation for coverage of immigration issues throughout California.